as be at peace with him. He hath broken his covenant. The words of his mouth were smoother than butter. But war was in his heart. His words were softer than oil, yet were they drawn swords. Cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. He shall never suffer the righteous to be moved, but thou, O God, shall bring them down into the pit of destruction. Bloody and deceitful men shall not live out half their days, but I will trust in thee. I'm going to speak this morning as for us, but I'll probably say as for me because the text says that. And it starts with the individual and it moves to us about the matter of what we ought to be doing minimally. Please hear me and I'm going to pray. I want to say again, and this is our problem. Most of us can't bounce two basketballs. And what we're talking about, we have to bounce two basketballs. Life has to go on. At the same time, there's some bigger things than our pettiness. And friends, we are filled with pettiness. The things, all you got to do is go to a restaurant and listen to people talk. I went to that restaurant over there and the eggs weren't done right. Really? Do you think anybody in Kiev this morning is thinking about their eggs not cooked properly? So I'm going to encourage you, I'm going to ask of you something that's very difficult. Bounce two balls at the same time. You got to go on with life. We got to take care of business. We got to do the things we do. But at the same time, there's some serious matters going on. And I don't have any control, but I know who does. Let's pray. Father, I ask your blessings today as we look at this text. Help me, Lord, to include what needs to be included and leave out everything that needs to be left out. Bless now, I ask, in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. My wife went over to see her mother on Friday and Saturday. So yesterday I was left alone. And when I got out of bed, I will confess to you, and I am a simple person. I spend almost, I spend less than seconds per week thinking about myself. I wish I could say I was spiritual. I'm pretty convinced my father never thought about himself much either. Yesterday, I was blue. I don't get discouraged. I don't ever think about myself enough to get blue. I was yesterday. My head was low. For the first part of the morning, I couldn't do anything. You say why? One word, Ukraine. I cannot have the reactions of many people. And I'm sorry, some of this will be offensive. I'm not trying to offend anybody. I'm stating facts. Take up the facts, not the offense. A woman on The View, Joy, literally said, "This might ruin my vacation to Italy. We've been in the pandemic for 2 years and I haven't got to go to Italy. I might not get to go to Italy." That demonstrates the very problem we have, even in church, with our self with trivia. The Vice President of the United States, Kamala Harris. Remember facts? I read this in a British newspaper and in a German one. She was asked in Europe about Ukraine. This is their language, not mine. I did read what she said. It sounded like gobbledygook, but they called it a word salad, their language, meaning she had no clue and no interest in what's going on in Ukraine. She's only interested about herself and her little world and her little politics. Oh, wait a minute. That wasn't me speaking. Do me a favor. Go online. Look at what she said. And see if you can tell me what it even means. Kamala Harris is clueless, in between clueless and laughing. Then we got our president. Sleepy Joe. Oh, he took a vacation this weekend. He went home. So far in his first year, he has spent over 25% of his time in Delaware at home. Oh, wait a minute. And the media, what's it saying? I heard what the media in Russia is saying about the invasion. And the media in Russia is saying exactly what the media says here. It's in the back pocket of the Democratic Party. By the way, look online, look what the Russians are saying about the war. Putin's saying we're going there to protect Russians. Did you know any Russians were in danger? Sleepy Joe is sleeping at home. Oh, he did say, bad, bad boy. We're going to sanction you. I actually had a person say this to me. I don't know any Ukrainians. Another one said this, I'm not Ukrainian. I did hear a couple people say this, I don't like the price of gas. Of course, they forgot, because see, we don't remember something over 30 seconds. They forgot that Sleepy Joe did shut down the pipeline, which would have made us totally independent of gas on our own, which we never had to worry about any of this, but that's another subject. You know, we're in love. Some people don't like the inflation, and I will say that the inflation right now might be very close to worse than any time in my lifetime. But I want to say this to all of you, from my wife over here, to Pam here, to Sparky back there, to my friends. I do know some Ukrainians. One of them is married to one of my favorite human beings, Troy Manning. Her name is Oksana. Guess where Oksana's family lives? Look at me. Where does Oksana's family live? Kiev. Well, I don't know. This is not my country. Not my color. This is all about race, isn't it? So this morning, when we're playing around with all of our little silliness, we have missionaries, folks, that we know. Her family is, I can't imagine, being in the city center of a siege. And we're not talking about a few military guys with a few rifles. We're talking about a siege of a city. You say, Pastor, that's the only Ukrainian I know. Well, thank you for sharing. We also have another family. Have you heard of their names? The Agamelians. Tico is from the country of Armenia, not Armenia. It's near Georgia and Azerbaijan. It's in between the Black Sea and the Caspian Sea. He got saved there. His wife is from Russia. And they've spent the last decade in the city of Kiev. They just left Kiev. Churches they help pastor and lead just in the last few months, not for bad reasons. His dad is ill in Moscow. So here he is in Moscow. His wife is Russian. He is Armenian. And they're praying. Yesterday, I saw his on Facebook, and all he did was say, pray for Ukraine, which, do you know that's dangerous in Russia? This is what I did. I texted him back on Messenger, and I said, brother, I don't know how to pray for Ukraine or Russia. He gave me a long text back. I'll share some of it. Psalm 55 and verse 16. As for me, I hope, as for us, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I'm going to say three very simple things this morning. As for me, number one, I think we begin with this. We pray according to the day, the rhythms of the day. So if you look at verse 17, this is very Jewish, meaning biblical in the Old Testament. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. We pray according to the day. Friends, I heard that verse before I ever read it. I heard a pastor quote that verse in a sermon somewhere over 40 years ago. I remember the verse stuck in my heart, but I freely confess to you, I didn't understand the first three, I didn't understand the evening, morning, and at noon. I would say to you for 25 or 30 years, it's like, why would you, what? We say morning, noon, evening. So were they just being poetic? And the answer, of course, is no. So I'm going to say something to all of you. And I actually would like some of you to start obeying the scripture. I have taught this for 25 years in this church or longer. The day begins the night before. The day always begins the night before. Look at me in the eyes. The most important part of your day is the night before. Have you ever had somebody ask me recently, what time do you get up? That's not the best question. He should have said this, what time do you go to bed? And he should have asked, what do you do right before you go to bed? You say, what are you talking about? Well, friends, 5 minutes around Jewish people, you'll figure this out. They have a weekly thing called Sabbath. You heard of it? It's Shabbat or HaShabbat, the Sabbath. But the Sabbath is not on Saturday that we think of. Sabbath begins 6 p.m. on Friday night. Because your day doesn't begin in the morning, it begins in the evening. And friend, I'm going to show you a verse in a minute that is so obvious. Most of our problems are because we don't go to bed well. Males go to bed fixated, and I'm just being crude, on sex, and women go to bed fixated on problems, and they both wake up unhappy. As a Christian, the greatest truth I have ever learned is what you do the night before controls the day. If you control the night before, so pray according to the day. I'm not talking about what day, I'm talking about the rhythms of a day. And a day in the biblical world begins the night before. Now, let's do it. Ephesians chapter 4, would you look there with me, please? Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 26, everyone. And friends, if I can say this to you, the best part of the day and the most important part of the day is the night before. Because in a biblical thinking, and I don't want to use biblical, I just think in, it's not like a command, it's like an assumption. What we do, what we think of as the night before, what in the Jewish world is the beginning of the day, that's the most important thing you do. So, you all found it, Ephesians 4:26? Yes? And be you what? And sin not. And what's the next statement say? And let not what? Here's our problem. We try to fix our problems. Look up here. We try to fix all of our problems during the day. No, you fix your problems the night before. Our problems are always simple. We don't go to bed well. We don't pray well. We get up in the morning and our life is herky-jerky and it's scattered and we're frustrated and we're depressed. Simple. You begin the day the night before with God. If you have bitterness or you know a bitter person, do I need to come out and run around? If you have people who are bitter, you shut them down right now by saying this. What do you think about when you go to bed? And this is what you'll find. Their bitterness. Their bitterness dominates their world. If a person's fear-oriented, they go to bed afraid. If they're everything is controlled. By the way, Paul says, there's a time and a place for anger, proper use. Be angry and sin not. And then he says, and let not the sun go down upon your wrath. Friends, everything is controlled by getting our life and our prayer life in the rhythm of the day. Evening and morning. And at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. I don't start praying in the morning because mornings are busy, busy, busy. And then lunch is busy, busy, busy. And all of a sudden, it's 10 o'clock at night. You realize you haven't read the Bible. You haven't spent time with God. And you're exhausted. You go to bed. And the next day, you're back in the rat race. And you never catch up with yourself. Because we have to pray according. And not just pray. Meditate. Think. Proverbs chapter 6. Would you look there, please? Proverbs chapter 6. Everybody knows this text. I've only preached on it dozens of times. Proverbs chapter 6. I would say this, friend, the best part of the day, the most important part of the day, is the night before. It is so important to go to bed meditating on God, meditating on Scripture, meditating on a good song, praying, pouring your heart out with God. So you start your day the night before, so when you get up in the morning, you're already into the flow of this. Evening. And in the morning, and at noon. I mean, it's a natural flow from the evening. When you go to time for bed, you go to bed with the Lord. You sleep on His promises. You go to bed talking to Him. You're controlling what you think about. Let me say it this way, and we'll look at the verse. Evening, for us, must not be a time of stress or being stressed out. It's not a time to worry. It's not a time to fret. It's not a time to ruminate like a cow chewing its cud all night on bitterness and problems and disappointments and hurts and pains. No, it's a time that you spend time with the Lord. It's the most important part of the day. We ought not to ever sleep on our hurts, our pains, our anger, our disgust, our problems. Proverbs 6, verse 20. My son, keep thy father's commandment and forsake not the law of thy mother. This is poetry, friend. This is poetry using what a parent, a mom and a dad would teach their child, which would simply be Scripture. So he's using it in poetic terms because dad teaches, mom teaches, of course. That's what parenting is. So they tell the son, my son, keep thy father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Then he takes it an inch farther. Bind them continually upon thine heart, the command and the control center of the human. Make sure they encircle the heart, that which is the most central to you. He goes on to say, and tie them about thy neck. Here it is, verse 22. Look at me, please. I can quote it, can you? When thou goest, how many people don't have to move through life? When thou goest, it, those commands that you put in your heart, that you bound around your heart and your neck, when thou goest, those teachings shall do what? They'll lead you. When thou, what's the next one? Sleepest. Friends, I know people that go to sleep at, let me back up. Let me go 25 years ago. I'm in Bible class over here. I think it was 206 at the time. I made a huge mistake. I asked this question. By the way, parents, you wonder why your kids sleep all the time at all the wrong places? I asked a question. I was the dumbest question I ever asked. I noticed I had kids that always slept, and I just said, what time did you go to bed? And I made a huge mistake. Do you all know what the mistake was? I should have asked this question. Where do you go to bed? Because most of them didn't go to bed in bed. And this was 1996, 97, 98. Today, most children, teenage children, go to bed with their phone in their hand or playing video games. And if you let them, parents, you understand the most important part of the day is, say it with me, the night before. The most important part of the day is, my friends, go to bed with the Lord. Go to bed with a song. Go to bed with, Judy sang a lovely song this morning. I'm not real familiar with, but you could go to bed just, you say, I can't sing. By the way, the Lord's okay with your voice. The rest of us aren't, but the Lord is. Go to bed singing with yourself. Go to bed quoting the poetry. Go to bed quoting the great poetry from the songs of the last 500 years. Go to bed meditating on Scripture. Go to bed praying. Here it is. As for us, let us pray according to the day, according to the rhythms. So look at the text again, verse 22. When thou goest, it shall lead thee. So I would think this, any kind of big decision that you make, I'm not talking about where you eat lunch. You should have dozens of verses demonstrating what you do makes sense. Because the Word of God leads you. When thou sleepest, it shall keep you. I have so many people, I can't sleep, I have insomnia. Look at me, I know there are some physiological causes of insomnia. I'm not a stupid person. But much insomnia is caused by, you never got your life under control. I can tell you how long it takes me to go to sleep on the average night. Before my head is firmly on the pillow, I am gone. You say, are you perfect? No, but I can promise you this. As an adult, I have always tried to follow the rhythms of the day. I try to start in the evening. I try to calm down all the silliness. I like to go in. I have to be careful. I did it last night for an hour later than I should have. I read Revelation 11, the whole chapter, a couple times. I read Psalm 55 a couple times. I read Matthew 24 a couple times. I was debating about what I wanted to say. And then I thought, I got to do something practical. Friends, as for us, let us pray according to the day, the rhythms of the day, evening and morning and at noon. And if we begin the day the night before, and we're praying and we're meditating on Scripture, look at the last line. It's my favorite line. Folks, I learned this in 1976. I got the book upstairs. The book is worthless. But one statement from 1976. Do you see the last verse? And when thou awakest, what? Please look at me. When you wake up bitter, you wake up angry, you wake up negative, that means you went to sleep angry, bitter, and negative. Because what you're thinking about normally is what you wake up with. What do I call that? Last thought, first thought. Friends, the last thought of the night ought to be on the grace of God, the mercy of God, some text that you're meditating on, some verse that you're pulling in. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling, Jude 24 and 25. Now unto the King, eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, 1 Timothy 1:17. Shouldn't Scripture consume? Shouldn't you begin your day the night before and not during the day with all of your problems? Is there no... I'm going to say this. I am about here. I don't know where to go with Lake County Baptist. I have people that make decisions that have no basis in Scripture. I have people that never mature. They just stay where they are. And I'm like, I am preaching life this morning. How you begin your day is the only important thing you need to hear right now. And you begin your day the night before. As for us, let us pray according to the day. There's a rhythm. And friend, it's not just prayer. You can do meditation on Scripture. You can sing. You can give thanks. You say, Pastor, do you do this perfectly? No, but friend, out of 365 days, it should be at least 330 of them. You're doing pretty good. Quit bringing your garbage to bed with you and eating your garbage all night. Bring the Word of God to bed with you. When you put your pillow down, think about Scripture. Think about passages that give you hope. Think about I run into people that are so negative. I don't care what I said. We're having steak for everybody right after church. Some old sourpuss would say, well, I don't like steak. Why do we think that's godly? Why aren't we a person that sees the possibilities in what God can do? It's because we have never learned to live the rhythms of the day. Let us pray according to life, according to the day, according to the rhythms of a day. Begin at night, continue in the morning, continue during the day. It just makes sense. By the way, friend, don't ask me what time noon. This is the stupidity of small minds. They want me to give them a calendar. I don't care what time you go to bed. You can be a late night person like me, or you can be a person that 9 p.m., you're ready for hitting the rack. The night's still the night, and the morning's still the morning. I have a good friend in the Philippines, Pastor Paladong. He says, I love to get up at 5 a.m. I said, what do you do at 5 a.m.? He says, I read the Bible. Folks, at 5 a.m., I don't want to see anybody. I don't want to hear anybody. I'm cranky. You say, why? God knows 5 a.m. is too early to get up. Except on Tuesday mornings, I have to get up at 5 a.m. because I'm teaching in the Philippines by 6 a.m. Prayer. Well, let's look back at the text, would you please? Let's move on to the pieces that we need to grab. Look back at verse 17. Evening. Let's look at verse 16. As for me, and in our case, as for us, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. Evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud, and he shall hear my voice. Friends, as for us, let us pray according to the day or the rhythm of the day. As for us, let us pray according to the need. Friend, if there is great need, it should be obvious from your heart that in verse 16 it says, I will call upon God. In verse 17 it says, will I pray and cry aloud? Something comes out of us. So we pray according to the need. Listen, I don't have to break down, I don't have to weep when God provides food for me. I can be thankful. But there's times that we need to pour out our hearts. And this psalmist is saying, as for me, and I say, as for us, we pray according to the real needs that we have. Let's talk about Ukrainians. I know most of us don't know who Ukraine is, honestly. Most of us don't even care. The only thing we actually care about is inflation, gas prices, and stuff like that. I mean, nothing else seems to really interfere with our thinking too much. My introduction to Ukraine happened in 1982. My wife was there for all of it. You say, how so? Well, we got a new emergency room director. His name was Dr. Babchuk. For whatever reason, he liked me initially and intuitively. We became friends. His name was George Babchuk. At least that's what white people called him. Because I wasn't just a white person, he said, I want you to call me by my real name, which was Yuri Babchuk. Oh, my goodness. Jenny, what did we go out with Dr. Babchuk? Two or three times. We went out and stayed on his parents' farms. By the way, his mother was from Odessa, Ukraine. His dad was from another area. I forget which one. One was from the part of Poland that used to be Poland, that's now Ukraine, because Ukraine has been divided up in 14 different directions by every country out there. Oh, what a great introduction. He talked about the struggles of Ukraine. I can tell you the story. But here's the problem. Every young person in this room will not understand it if I paid them $1 million, because you don't remember communism. But this was in 1982, which was before what? The fall of the Berlin Wall. His family, Dr. Babchuk's parents' family, were still living under communism. He had not seen his sister in 40 years. His sister was allowed to come and visit them. She's 80 something. She's an old babushka, you know, with the hair up in the thing. Babushka means grandmother, but it's kind of a two-way street. She tottered into the house. Her first visit to them after 40 years, they hadn't seen each other. She's allowed to come from, by the way, she has nothing. She's allowed to come here, but they guarantee it by, like, more or less secluding one of her children or grandchildren that she'll come back. She comes here, And Dr. Babchuk's family came to America, look at me in the eyes, with nothing. And they didn't speak English. They moved into Chicago. I'm assuming, am I assuming falsely that we know Chicago has a large Ukrainian population? Two largest ones outside of Ukraine, Chicago and Toronto. Toronto has more. Or it did. The sister comes. By the way, Dr. Babchuk's parents, he had two sons. I forgot to tell you, two sons. Yuri was one. He had a younger brother. Both of them were doctors. Dad and mom worked in a factory, putting their kids through school, sending them to medical school. They got enough money. They saved. You know how people from, well, maybe you don't. They just saved everything. Moved out and bought a farm in Indiana. Chicken farm. Produced eggs. It was theirs. That old sister, that old babushka, came, got to the farm, looked around. You see, I'm speaking this to people that don't know. She assumed, because she was from Russia, that it was fake. She assumed, who owned it? The government. And this was all a fake thing to show people from Russia that America was much better than Russia. She came twice. Jenny and I met her the second time. She still didn't believe they owned the farm. The second time we were there, she asked her brother in Ukrainian. No joke. She picked up. He was out showing her the egg farm. I mean, you know, this had 50,000 chickens. You know how many eggs that was? She like picked up a thing of eggs and she said, like secretive, you know, because everything is. She said, do you get to take some of these for yourself? Do you understand who Putin is? No, you don't. These are conspiratorial people, hateful people. They are people that think everybody wants to take for them because they've been doing it their whole life. And this goes back to, let me think, 1206 in December. The Mongols under Batu and one of his relatives destroyed the city of Kiev down to the ground. Most of the elite people were murdered. Different stories. In the church. Friends, they've been under the domination of people for millennia. Do you know the difference between a Bielorussian and a great Russian and a little Russian? Of course not. We know nothing. And our president knows less. And the worst thing is our media cannot speak the truth. You go online, look up President Biden on Time magazine with his little glasses, and they're acting like, now he's the man. He knows what to do with Russia. Yes, this is what he did with Russia. He went to Delaware to catch a nap. In 1648, the Ukrainians got some freedom. Now, I speak the truth, so if you don't like truth, you better be careful with me. And they massacred 100,000 Jews during that period of time. They're not good people either. There are no good people. I read that someplace. In the 1930s, somewhere between 2 and 3, and according to the Ukrainians, many more, but at least 2 to 3 million Ukrainians were starved to death by Stalin. Do you know that? Do you know what else Stalin did? Why do you think there are Russians living in Ukraine? Well, Stalin liked to take whole groups of Russians and populate them in different places, just like the Germans used to do, so they could claim that land for themselves. So if you go into Romania, just south of Ukraine, you will find Transylvania in the north, Wallachia in the south, and Moldova in the east. And then you'll see another country named Moldova, and it's like, oh, I forgot to tell you, that's where the Russians are. So they surround the whole country. They're in Belarus to the north. They're in those eastern provinces. And they're in the south in a separate country. By the way, these people have no hope. But we do have a sleepy president. You say, Pastor, what should I do? Well, here's where I come. Friend, I would ask you to do this with me. Of what's going on. If you don't know, find out. Pray for our brothers and sisters in both Russia and Ukraine. Because understand, friends, our missionaries have been going back and forth since Ronald Reagan, our missionaries have been going back and forth doing this stuff. We've been serving in both countries. The Agamalian family, which are now in America because of COVID, but they're much farther east. They're in Kazan, which is much farther. That's where Batu made his headquarters in the 1200s. Pray for our brothers and sisters. I mean, we have them in Ukraine. We have them in Russia. And friends, if you're in Russia, you don't really get to do and say, well, I don't want to do that. Pray for our Ukrainian leadership. I'm assuming you know that Putin has made this racist because the president of Ukraine is Jewish. But we haven't heard that in our media either. Pray for Ukrainian leadership. Pray for the West. Pray that God, I mean, I look at the leaders we have in the West. Wow. We have Justin Trudeau. He's the man. We have Olaf Scholz. I don't know anything about him, from Germany. Boris Johnson. Emmanuel Macron in France. I can only tell you this. We don't have Reagan and Margaret Thatcher. I know that. Friends, I want to say this. Maybe you don't. Maybe this doesn't even interest you. Do you understand that millions of Ukrainians are trying to flee? But do you also understand the places they're trying to flee, they don't have anything there, and Putin wants those places too? I'm going to ask you a question. As Americans, where do we draw the line? I don't care about Poland. I'm not Polish. I don't care about Lithuania. I'm not Lithuanian. As long as they don't come to America, well, hey, I'm being ugly. I'm not California. I don't care about California. Do you see how stupid that is? I would ask you to beg God for God to work. But we still have the problem. We have to continue doing and carrying on our life, our ministries, trying to reach people here, trying to have an Awana, where, by the way, most people in this church have been so squirrely in the last 2 years, I don't even know who you are. We decide we're not teaching Sunday school, we're not in the choir, we're not on Wednesday night, we're not on Sunday night, we're just bouncing around like little squirrels. And I, by the way, coming this morning, squirrel crossed the road right over here when I pulled off of Lewis, crossed the road, ran back, crossed the road, ran back, crossed the road, ran back, and I'm like, that's America. Friend, we must carry on our ministries while we're asking God in some way to intervene in this world. Pray for our leaders. Pray that we get some leaders. Pray for our friends. Pray for our own missionaries. Pray for their churches. Can I ask you a question? I'm going to be done. Can you imagine meeting here this morning and we hear bombs going off? This is not some faraway place. These are people like us. When Jenny and I was at Oak Forest Baptist Temple back in the 80s, one of their main supporters of their Christian school were Ukrainian Baptist churches. All right. Look back, if you would, please, to our text. I'm going to be done with this. 55, verse 16. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. But this isn't just about me, because this one's not personal. This is about us. He says, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry, and he shall hear my voice. Pray. As for us, let us pray according to the day. Friends, if you've always gone to bed wherever you are, whatever you're doing, you just fall asleep, let's stop that today. Let's go to bed at a specific time, the same time more or less every night. Let's go to bed thinking of the Word of God. Let's go to bed praying. Let's go to bed rejoicing. Let's go to bed giving thanks. And then let us pray according to the need. Friends, if I went without a meal for the next week, honestly, I'd be hungry, but I wouldn't miss a thing. I think I could skip for the next month. There are people with real needs. Number three, let us pray according to his promises and his purposes. The text says in verse 16, and friends, you always got to keep God's purposes in mind, his sovereignty, and his promises. The psalmist says in verse 16, as for me, and I'm just saying as for us, I will call upon God and the Lord shall save me. I believe God can make, I know he can make a difference. Let's pray that he does. And he shows himself mighty in what's going on. Verse 17, evening and morning and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. And he shall hear my voice. The Lord hath prepared his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all in the sense of his divine sovereignty. Paul says, now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. My friends, let us pray according to a rhythm, according to the day. Let us start tonight and pour out our hearts and read those texts that give us confidence. Let us pray according to the great need, and let us pray according to his promises, but recognizing God has purposes. I don't know what they are. Friend, you ask me, do I know what to do? No. Look at me. Do you know that Baptists in America up to World War I were almost entirely against ever being in a war? I'm not crazy about fighting someplace or sending young people to fight. This is what I'm going to pray for. My Heavenly Father will do something about the leadership gap in America in both the Republican and the Democratic Party. Wouldn't you like to have a president that you think actually cares for all Americans? Man, that'd be a shocker. Wouldn't you like to have leadership that actually are people of principle? When they say something, they mean it? Pray for our leaders. Pray for these people. My friend, pray according to the great need and pray according to his promises and his purposes. Thy will be done. Thy will be done. Father, save, change, help. That is my prayer. Father, thank you for this text. Do we ever get a person that is oriented around their emotions to ever stop? The whole world is burning, and we're still thinking about ourselves. Father, help us to start tonight. Help us to totally change this whole thing called bedtime. May it be the beginning of the day. May we structure our prayer life around evening, morning, and at noon. May it be the natural flow of our life. May we pray, and Lord, this morning, I don't have good words. I don't know how to pray. I can't imagine being in church, hearing cannons and bombs and helicopters and shooting. The thought is beyond me. Or the over a million people across borders, and those borders won't stop the same people that's chasing them. Father, my heart is humbled. I feel pretty small, but I know you are God. We ask you to intervene. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's all stand, please.
Let's close with number 382, please. We'll sing the third stanza as we close our service, 382. Stanza number 3.